Hey, I hope you all enjoyed that half as much as I did. That is, who knows, maybe Lanny or Lainey Gardner, and that was a cover she sang. I don't know how in the heck I ran into that, but man, I just loved that. So, hope you guys did too. I thought it was fun. I want to make sure. It looked like I blasted the mic one time when I first came on, but I hope it's okay now. Anyway, hey, I have some fun stuff to share with you guys this week, which is kind of crazy because this week it seems like there's been so much going on. Seems like really good stuff, but it's not time to let off of anything. You know, like we got to keep the pedal down, keep the pressure on. You guys are so awesome over here on Real Liberty Media. If you're not a member of the chat room over at Real Liberty Media, come on over, check out the chat room, get to know people. Man, they will pass on some great information from a multitude of sources other than mainstream media so that you can find the truth that you're seeking. And I know there's a ton of people out there, you know, seeking more truthful information about what's going on in the world. It seems like, you know, things are starting, like the tide is starting to turn. But sometimes that's exactly what people want you to think, is that the tide is turning so that you let off the pressure. But we're not going to let off the pressure here. Redneck Dennis isn't going to let off the pressure. I said in the beginning, one of my mantras my whole life is all bleeding eventually stops. It is eventually going to stop. It's just going to take a group effort to do it. So we need to just keep the hammer down. Keep going in the right direction here. Okay, so I want to tell you a couple funny stories first. First, I'll tell you the grandson hoverboard story. So Sammy, the youngest grandson, he's like four. He's got to be five. Yeah, five going on six, right? I'm telling you, so he's one of these kids, like you wonder, like if, you know, world, if food becomes scarce, this kid's not going to survive. Because he's so flippin' picky about eating food. Like, I'm going to tell you how picky it is. It's not even food. I think it's a thought in his head, like some image he's got conjured up. And this is why. So his dad, Sheck, loves red velvet cake, right? And so he had a piece of, this was not recently, this was months ago, maybe even a year ago or more. Sheck had a piece of red velvet cake. And Sammy asked him what it was. And he said, well, it's my dinner. And Sammy just turned his nose up and walked away. Like red velvet cake, man. You know, this kid would eat sugar, like any kind of sugar he could get his hands on, he would eat. But because Sheck referred to it as his dinner, nope, wouldn't have anything to do with it. So, okay, so that's Sammy. So this is what happened. Sammy came to me. He didn't really, like, come to me, but he said one day after, hang on a sec, I want to do something. Okay, that's, oh yeah, that's a lot better. Okay, so kind of at dinner time one evening, he said, I really want a hoverboard. And I go, you do? And he says, yeah, I really, really want a hoverboard. And I go, oh. I said, I'll get you a hoverboard. And he said, yeah, you will? And I go, oh, yeah, but you have to work for it because, you know, they have to work for stuff. I think it's good for them to know the value of, you know, doing work and getting rewarded. So I said, all you have to do is eat And then I said, oh, yeah, how much is a hoverboard? And he says, like $100. And I go, oh, $100. I go, that's not bad. I said, okay, all you have to do. Now, you know, I'm not going to make a deal. I'm not going to win at, right? Or at least it's going to be kind of hard to win. But I knew this one hands down, I would win easy. I said, okay, Sammy, all you have to do is eat dinner for 20 nights in a row. And I said, and you have to eat whatever dinner we're eating. You don't get to eat something special. You just have to eat whatever dinner we're eating. Okay. Okay, Papa, he says. And he goes over and sits down and chokes down a taco, like a burrito that, you know, I mean, homemade. We crafted them, built them here at home, but he wasn't having any of it. But now that it was part of the deal, you know, he decided to sit down and eat that burrito. So one night down, that was the first night, right? The next night we're having, I'm not kidding, we're having baked chicken, like just baked chicken and, you know, whatever sides, like asparagus and mashed potatoes. Nope, not going to eat it. I was like, oh, you're not going to eat your dinner? And he's like, no, that's disgusting. I go, oh, okay, good deal. Just save me $100. So obviously, he didn't want the hoverboard that bad. Obviously, right? We all know. Like, it was just a thing. At the moment, he wanted a hoverboard, but not bad enough to eat dinner more than one day in a row. My God. Kids. Gee, many Christmas. It's kind of sad, though, man. So I asked Crystal one time. She goes, yeah, he won't eat. And I was like, yeah, no kidding, Vinny. I'd give him some pot. That's a good idea. Oh, my God. I'm going to get in some kind of trouble for saying that. But, you know, it would stimulate their appetite. But they'd probably just want, you know, chips and whatever. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Crystal told me one time, she goes, oh, he won't eat. She goes, it, you know, he won't eat. And I go, well, just don't give him any other food. She goes, yeah, we tried that. She said he went 3 days without eating. I know, it sounds like child abuse. It isn't. You know, if they're hungry, they'll eat. Well, I think. But she honestly thought he would just starve to death. Like 3 days, probably not enough to starve to death. And he was drinking fluids and stuff. But jiminy Christmas, man. 3 days with no food? Are you kidding me? Kid is crazy. And that is kind of worrisome too, man, because you think, okay, let's just say the economy freaking falls apart and the supply chain is destroyed and there's World War III and the Civil War in the United States and there's no food available anywhere. What in the hell? He probably is going to starve to death. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I'm just thinking, like, it's so simple. It's one of the most fundamental things that we can do. You know, and it was kind of funny. I actually kind of had a moment when we were having this discussion the second night when he wouldn't eat his dinner, because all the grandkids are here, and then, you know, Crystal and Sheck, their parents, our daughter and son-in-law, they're here. And I thought back to my childhood, man, and I was thinking, man, we were so flipping poor. And I'm not going to make it sound like it's just, the reality is, we were poor. I came from a poor family. You know, my stepfather worked. He was gone a lot. My mom didn't work until, I don't know, I was like getting into the teenage years or something. But we didn't have money. Like, so they would go to this auction on Saturday. What was called the auction. It was actually today, they would call it a Saturday market. And they would pick up a 50-pound bag of potatoes, and it was just a couple dollars. I mean, this is back in the 60s, obviously. And they'd pick up like a 50-pound bag of pinto beans. And so basically that was the main part of our meals, was potatoes and pinto beans, because they were inexpensive. And you know, we didn't have a lot of money for like meat and stuff and other fresh vegetables. And I know there's a lot of families, like I see what people eat. When you can go to Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Carl's Jr., Taco Bell and get these $5 meals, why would you not go do that and then go to the store and get yourself some nutrition, like some real fruits and vegetables? But, you know, thinking back to the time, you know, well, I mean, we didn't have $5 lunches or whatever from McDonald's at the time. Well, I don't know. They probably had some kind of deal. But, no, McDonald's, what, the start in the 50s? Yeah, so maybe by the 60s they had some kind of hamburger thing. But we didn't go, you know, because it was much cheaper to make pinto beans and fried potatoes or mashed potatoes or whatever. But I was having that moment, like having that grandfatherly talk with my grandchildren about how lucky they are to have this like gigantic variety of food available to them. And, you know, luckily, like two of them, I think, they're willing to try some stuff. One of them is a pretty good eater. Like the oldest one, he'll pretty much tackle just about anything at least once. Like he'll give it a, I like to call it a no thank you bite. It's like, you know, you try it and you don't like it, so you say no thank you. But at least you try it. Now he's also the one who thinks he's going to kill wild game and field dress it and butcher it and eat it, which is good. I mean, you know, he's, what is he, 11 now? He's getting to that point where, you know, if he wants to go hunting, we'll take him hunting. And yeah, he'll learn to field dress some food and prepare it and see what it's like, you know, see what doing that whole process is like. And that'll be good for him. And I think that's why he's kind of different. He actually wants to do that, which means he has to kind of prepare himself in some way to get ready for that, which means trying foods that you don't know what they taste like, because if he kills something to eat, then it's not going to go to waste. It's going to be eaten, and he's going to be doing the eating mostly. I mean, I like wild game. All different kinds too. There's a lot. I know one thing. I don't care what happens to the economy or the world. There's plenty of food to be found around here. So we will be looking. But anyway, the rest of them, yeah, I worry. Like they probably wouldn't survive long. You never know though, because when people are put in desperate situations, you see them change kind of drastically. Like, you know, when you're really starving, you decide to start eating, like, basically whatever. I was just watching, like, a survival show this morning, kind of between stuff. It just happened to be on the TV outside here in my workout area. And this guy was in a car crash, and he was, like, I don't know, like, disabled, crippled up, broken, whatever. And he was stuck, like he couldn't move, so he couldn't really go get water. And he didn't have any food. He was tossed from the car. So he just started grabbing whatever greenery was within reach and eating it. After like 3 or 4 days, I think, he started eating just whatever was close, which was kind of smart on his part because he needed nutrition. But, you know, the risk was that if any of those plants within reach were poisonous, he would have been in big trouble. The other thing is kind of weird. I don't know if you know this, but when you like start eating a new food, like your system sometimes needs to get used to it. So like just starting out eating, you know, like going out and picking some vegetables and eating them. Vegetables, I mean grasses or herbs or wild plants. Even if you know that it's okay to eat it, it might take you a little bit to get used to it. Like, your system may revolt at first, especially if you've been eating a lot of Burger King or McDonald's or something. Oh, in that show, too, I thought this was interesting. A plant that I talked about before, mullein, or mullein, I heard it pronounced both ways. This other survivor from a different episode, his feet were soaking wet and cold because he was in Alaska. And this survival guy who, you know, gives you all the tips about how to survive said to take those mullein leaves and put them in your shoes. Like, it helps reduce like inflammation, but it's also very soft and healing. Because this guy's feet were freezing cold and they'd pruned up because they'd been wet all day. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. Another use for the mullein plant. Okay, so the next story I have to tell you, when I was getting ready to tell you this story, because this is pretty redneck and it's pretty funny, but I also wanted to kind of introduce it with a song. So we'll play the song first. And then I'll come back and tell you the story. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. Don't forget, this month is our basically kind of annual donation drive. The donate button is set up, I'm told, and it's connected to our PayPal account. So come on over to Real Liberty Media, make a little donation, keep us going here. And by the way, thanks, Rob Works, Moose Girl, Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed. You guys, you know, coming in, doing some shows. It's awesome, very entertaining. Thank you. I appreciate it. Love the music on Sunday with Rob Works, and he has the trivia game going there too. So that's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. You learn a lot of stuff. Even though sometimes that Vanna, is it Vanna who does the answers? I forget. She's picky. Or is it Barman? I don't know. But whoever it is that checks the answers, man, it has to be just right. Like, capitalize. And if you sometimes leave the word "duh" out, you get busted. You don't get the answer right. Of course, you got to spell things right, too, because they got to be spelled right. But, man, that is a lot of fun. And then I know Moose Girl had did something. She piped some video and audio over the other night. It was fantastic. So come on over, Real Liberty Media. Shows are picking up, so that's cool. And it's just going to keep growing. Come on over. And hey, by the way, anybody knows where all we posted shows other than Real Liberty Media? If you could let me know. Like, I know somebody posted to Spreaker. And I post a BitChute, but I think there was a Real Liberty Media connection somewhere. Anyway, I don't know all those connections. So I think Vinny might have some answers, or Kate, somebody. Anyway, if you could all pass that on to me, I'd like to figure out, you know, where our shows have been and, you know, keep that going too. Okay, so the reason. So anyway, come to Real Liberty Media, hit the donate button. Put in a couple bucks, help support the channel. That'd be awesome. So I just have to tell you guys. So my dental office is in this little town. It actually could almost pass for a house on a corner. And actually, everything around it is a house. So it's kind of in a weird zoning area, I guess. But right next to the building, it was this old house. Well, still is this old house. And I'm not kidding. Old, like old, falling apart, decrepit, kind of nasty house. Like, I would watch squirrels just go into the roof. There were giant openings and birds go in there and bats fly out of there. And cats would go in there. I mean, into this roof area, like, just, you know. And then there were people, they're the kind of the local homeless people, vagrants, whatever you want to call them. They would go in there and just set themselves up, you know, just because the house, it wasn't like the owner never really showed up or whatever, but didn't really want people just using the house, but he really didn't do anything to keep them out of the house. So these people would just go help themselves, and they would just camp in there, especially when it was really cold, and you can hardly blame them. And they would start a fire in the fireplace, which always kind of made me nervous because I just knew the place was going to burn down one of these days, right? Well, it didn't so far. But some other guy bought it. And he... He's going to tear the house down and put a new one up, which is cool. It's a great idea, right? Okay. So, you know, in the past few weeks, I noticed like some things changed. Like he trimmed a bunch of, he took down one whole tree, kind of was in the way, got rid of it. And he trimmed up a bunch of other, you know, shrubs that were out of control and kind of cleaned up the access to this house. And then I go in Monday and like the front walls are missing on this house. Like the deck has been torn off and the front walls are missing. Like the rooms are wide open on the front of the house. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, so they're tearing it down. That's kind of cool. This should be interesting to watch, you know, over the next several days. I mean, it's always cool to watch people do stuff, I think. Like cool to watch people build stuff or demolish stuff or blow stuff up or just do something different than what we see every single day. So I was like, well, this will be a little bit entertaining, you know, can kind of watch these guys take down this house. Well, I wasn't kidding about the entertaining part. That's for damn sure. So Monday they took out a lot more. Well, no, they took out a lot more kind of what looked like supporting structures in that front part of the house that they had taken the front walls out of. And then I hear this, I hear this engine revving, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're up to. And then sure enough, you just hear this engine just rev up and take off kind of, and then come to a, like a slamming halt. And you kind of hear something like smack, and you're like, oh, I wonder what that was. So I kind of look over there, and I see they got a chain, like attached to some part of the rafter, like way up, like through a little like attic window, like a dormer, and the chain's inside there on something, like a rafter. I don't know what it was, too. And they are in this little, some kind of little station wagon, not like a tiny one, but it wasn't an SUV. It was much more like a station wagon. And not like it was a station wagon, okay? Like a newer station wagon, but probably 10 years old, something like that. But looked like a station wagon. And they had highway tires, and they're on this, and they're basically on the muddy front lawn. And they're just like flooring it, and I guess thinking that they're going to pull the damn house down, right? Obviously. I mean, that's obviously, you look at them and see, this is what they're thinking. They've taken the front support structures off, and now all they have to do is just pull the house forward and it'll fall down. Oh, no. No, no. They worked on that all day Monday until, like, you could hear them go in there with, like, a chainsaw and cut some more stuff, you know, and then hook that chain up into a different spot. And then you hear that engine revving up in this little tiny, I don't know, like a Rio or a Subaru. No, I know Subarus are good cars, and it wasn't a Subaru, but it's kind of like that, like not a big car, and definitely not a truck, and definitely not a SUV. And I'm just thinking to myself, there's no way in hell you're pulling that house down. I mean, it's just, it's not happening. Not with the gear you've got. So Tuesday, they're back at it. they're back there. They take some more internal walls out. They take some more, you know, 2x4s, like cut them out. The guy was even on the roof with a chainsaw, and I think he like chainsawed a slit in the roof, like thinking that, like halfway between the front and back. And I think they were thinking that, you know, if they, you know, broke it down into smaller pieces, that it would fall a little easier. So sure enough, you know, they're back at it. They got the chain hooked up. They are flooring that car and slam until they get to the end of the chain. And it's just like, it's not budging. I mean, nothing is giving. And a car is just coming to a jolting halt, which is kind of surprising, because if you look at this house, you would have thought it had fallen down a long time ago. But no, it didn't. So later in the day, I think they had finally removed enough stuff and probably just like slammed on this chain enough times that they pulled like one rafter, the very front rafter, just far enough away that the ceiling fell down. And it actually kind of made me panic a little bit, because I remembered all the freaking nasty critters that are living in that attic. And then I just see this huge dust cloud rolling toward us. And we're only like 50 feet away from that house. I mean, yeah, we're in the clinic, so there's probably some air filtration that's going to help. But I just thought, oh my God, we're probably hantavirus in no time. We're going to be getting hantavirus. And, yeah, I've made a hell of a mess. So then I was thinking, oh, okay, they're making some progress here. You know, this is going to be interesting. So they reconnected their chain, because, of course, now they had pulled that one piece off, basically. And it wasn't clean at all, man. It was like, I don't know, some piece of, it's probably like a piece of, the bottom piece of the rafter. They pulled it far enough that the roof just like fell into that front room. Anyway, so then they, you know, kind of get all reconnected, and they are making a run with that chain again. And I was outside kind of watching, but I was probably about 50 yards away. Like, I wanted to be quite a ways away. And a patient of mine had pulled up. It was so I was at lunch. And then, you know, this patient came in for the first appointment after lunch. And he looks at me, he's like, what are you watching? I go, oh, I'm watching these guys tear down this house. And I kind of wink at him. And he comes over and he's looking. Now, this guy's probably an old, I don't know, contractor, builder, logger, I don't know what. Now he's kind of retired, drives school bus. But, you know, he used to do all the, you know, manual labor, the manual labor, you know. He was a tough guy. And he just looks at what they're doing, and he's like, are you kidding me? And I go, no, I said, they've been at this for days. So he goes, they got California license plates. And of course, we both started laughing, even though, like, you know, that doesn't mean anything, because people can rent vehicles now, and, you know, they rent cars, and they have, you know, they have California plates. Got to get a drink. Having a drink of my tonic water and honey grapefruit tea. Grapefruit honey tea. It's delicious. So just one sec. Oh, so good. Anyway. Yeah, I know they could have rented these cars, but I really have a feeling they were from California. Okay, so listen, this is what happened. So there's one car kind of parked perpendicular to the street, just slightly inside the driveway. I kind of use air quotes because there isn't a driveway, but the approach to the house. And the other car was like 30 feet in front of that car. And then it was like 20 feet to the house, and the chain was chained on who knows what in there, right? And the guy is making a run with the car, several runs with the car, and that chain is just like coming to the most violent end. And I don't know how parts weren't coming off this car, as a matter of fact. But anyway, the guy takes this final run, and when the chain tightens, it snaps and comes flying forward and hits his car, passes his car, flies all the way up and hits the other car. And me and that patient were just standing there like, oh God, I bet that hurt. Man, and they're lucky, like somebody wasn't just standing there, would have killed one of them. So they packed it up and called it a day, and I haven't seen them back since. I got a feeling they're going to come back with, I would say, an excavator, but right when I was going to say that, I was like, oh no, they're not. They're not coming back with an excavator. Who knows what they're going to come back with, if anything. But you know what's kind of interesting? So I haven't talked to the owner, like, personally, or I don't even know if one of these guys was one of the owners. What I was told was that the guy who bought the house was going to come and demolish it and build a new one, and that he was a woodworker, and he made furniture and stuff, sculptures and whatever. So I'm thinking, well, the guy, you know, obviously has some, like, sense. Like some common sense, you know. So I'm pretty much thinking that neither one of these two guys is that guy. I could be wrong. We'll see. All right. On to what is next. Oh my God. God, there's so much kind of good news. There's some really crappy news. The trucker convoy money GoFundMe. Oh my God. I hate those kind of people. So GoFundMe is just like, just took their money or put a hold on their money or what? I don't know. I've said this a couple episodes ago about some GoFundMe account. GoFundMe always takes a certain percentage off the top no matter what. I guess you have to use some service, you know, to do that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, what started out as a good thing to me, GoFundMe, I don't know. It's you know, more censorship, more little tiny tyrants trying to exercise their little tiny power because they don't agree with what's going on. Oh, well, we don't need GoFundMe, for God's sake. But Jesus, like, why would you screw with people like that? I mean, number one, I mean, just think, like, we probably think sensibly about this kind of stuff. Because if any group of normal people raise $10 million in a couple days, they're pretty serious about whatever it is they're doing, and they strongly believe in whatever it is they're doing. So why would you think that what you would do by interfering with that process is a good idea, GoFundMe? Like, why would you think, because all tens of thousands of truckers take a stand against tyranny, against mandates, against vaccines, against loss of freedoms, and probably tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of people make donations to support those people, and you think you're going to put a stop to it by withholding those funds? You're an idiot. And you've also been marked, which you were marked before anyway. You know, I truly believe that good wins often. Doesn't always win, but I truly believe that good wins often. Sometimes it's a matter of time. You know, sometimes it just takes us a while to get the gears in motion. And thank God for truckers, for crying out loud. I was thinking of this, man. These guys are hard-working guys. They have some of the most strict freaking regulations to work under, you know, limiting the number of miles that they can drive, having all these logbooks checked, and having their gear constantly scrutinized, which I know it's kind of a good thing to make sure the trucks are safe on the road, but Jesus, they are constantly so many things put in their way to prevent them from making money. And yet these guys are out there every single day doing the damn thing. You know, delivering fuel to the gas stations, bringing food to the markets, bringing goods to hospitals. You know, every single thing you, almost every single thing you touch has come by truck at one point or another in its development, either the raw materials, the finished product, whatever. And they're out there doing it, man. And they took the time out to do this convoy because it means something to them. Thank you, truckers, for taking a stand, man. And if you want, you want to see, you want to see a city, a town, a state brought to its knees, cut off the truckers. Piss off the truckers. Yeah, piss those guys off and see how that works for you. It'd be interesting to watch how this continues to develop. Man, it is so encouraging watching some of the people who have joined in support of the truckers and some of the truckers who actually have lived through communist rule before talk about, you know, how that happened in their country and how they're seeing that same thing happen today. That is awesome because the people who lived it recognize it. And they're telling you, this is what's happening. This is what I saw happen in my own country, and this is what's happening today. Yeah, at first they act like they're doing you a favor, like here, hey, we're just going to protect you from getting this virus. You know, we want to make sure to keep everybody healthy. So, you know, until we figure out what's going on, we're going to have you just stay at home, wear a mask, don't see your loved ones, don't touch each other, don't breathe, don't go outside. You know, because they're looking out for you. It's always how it starts. They just have your best interest at heart, of course not. Nobody has your best interest at heart than you. Nobody. So much going on, man. Thank God for the truckers. I'm not kidding. Really moving to see that whole thing in action, and every day there's these live updates and there's stories, not in the mainstream media, but, you know, everywhere else. Which brings me to censorship and Joe Rogan and Spotify, man. Or CNN, gee, mini Christmas. Oh, wait, I got to tell you guys the craziest story of my week, okay? So, I don't know what, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day Facebook, Meta, right before it took a dive. So, I can't remember which day it was, but this is what was happening. So, at work, sometimes I put the local radio station through the web page on my computer, so I'm listening to local news, right? And at the end of the day, it's like 4 o'clock or something, I don't know. It seemed like I was within an hour of leaving the place, and they're talking about the stocks of the day, like what happened, and first I got to tell you this. So first, I'm reading my Epic Times or other independent news sources, and one of them had this story about how horrible Facebook slant Meta had done in their, you know, expected profitability, and that in after hours trading, they had lost 13-16% or something. I'm like, oh, good, good. Another sign that the tide is turning. So I go out and get in my truck at 5 o'clock to go home. And I turn that radio station on then. So I had read the story on one of my news feeds about how crappy Facebook Meta had done and how much they lost in after-hours trading. I get in my truck, which, like I said, I only lived 3 miles from home, so I turn the local news on to listen to on the way home. And they're kind of going over the news of the day, and they said, I'm not kidding. I wish I could remember exactly. They said, Facebook had outstanding performance this quarter, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I kind of, like, my head kind of snapped around. I looked back at my office, and I was like, wait a minute. I could have sworn I just heard this story about how much their stock had plummeted in after-hours trading, and here I'm listening to a live news feed, some bozo talking about how great Facebook did. And kind of later, like as they're talking about the stocks of the day, they go, oh, and Facebook didn't have as many daily views or whatever as they, you know, active connections, something, you know, it wasn't quite as good as they wanted it to be. So they did kind of mention a little something about Facebook Meta not quite meeting its, you know, intentions. But they also didn't really tell the real story. And it was one of those moments for me, like, that is why people don't know the truth, man. Because mainstream media and your local freaking whatever, radio personalities, your local talk show host or DJs, they buy, they drink the Kool-Aid, and they, you know, they don't want to get their, you know, they don't want to get in trouble. So they just toe the line and tell these stupid stories that come off the AP because that's what they got. So anyway, that was like an eye-opener, like really kind of shocked me because literally it was within minutes of me reading the story inside on independent news, getting in my truck to go home, and I almost heard the exact opposite freaking story on the radio. So CNN, man, I really kind of wanted to talk about CNN, but I kind of wonder what's going on with Joe Rogan and Spotify. And this is why, is because like Spotify took on Joe Rogan knowing that YouTube was thumping Joe Rogan. Like they were, you know, cutting back. They were censoring Joe Rogan. So Spotify took him on knowing that that battle would be coming at some point, that challenge would be coming at some point. In fact, I'm kind of surprised that the whining babies didn't just follow Joe Rogan right over to Spotify and start complaining instantly. And maybe they did, but everybody ignored him for a while. But what's scary to me is that Spotify is actually kind of caving to this. And I guess it really kind of worried me that Rogan kind of apologized and said he would do stuff differently. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude, he has stood down some scary people before in his life. He is a... we're going to pause it for a minute. Hang on. We're just going to pause for 1 minute. You know, Rogan has, you know, like stared down some pretty tough people in his life. He stood his ground. You know, Rogan just does interviews. And for Spotify to even cave slightly to the noisy bunch really worries me. It worries me in the sense that here goes another site that actually took on Rogan knowing that there was some controversy. And I kind of was hoping that they would stand up for, I'm not even going to say controversial views, just alternative views, just alternative information given by experts. And some entertaining people that are on there just to tell you, you know, like what mushrooms you should eat or build or make a hat with or whatever. But, I mean, there's some entertainment on there. But why would Spotify then, you know, because all of a sudden there's some little kind of ruckus from Neil Young, now they're gonna back down, it looks like. And they've this morning I read that they've taken down 70 of his previous shows. I guess that they deemed controversial? Seriously? The good news is there are other options out there. And eventually, people are going to land on those options that are specifically for free speech. And they are not going to back down. Those sites are not going to back down. Hopefully. Jesus. We got to have somewhere we can go and talk about stuff. That's what made America great. That's what made the world great. Is that you think about stuff. That you, in groups, discuss one thing or another and share ideas and challenge each other and come to some kind of agreement. But, you know, when your mind is closed, you're not going to come to the best decisions, the best creation, the best solution. You know, if you're not willing to think outside of the box and accept somebody else's, at least talk to somebody else. Hell, I like hearing opposing views sometimes just to see if my personal, you know, stance has changed on any of that stuff. You know, do you have an argument, an actual rational, you know, argument compelling enough to make me change my mind or shift me a little bit? And so far, like 22 years, yeah, I haven't really shifted much at all. I'm open to discussions. But like Rogan, part of his apology was, I'm going to try and have more people with the opposite views on my show. Good luck, Joe. They don't want to come on your show. They don't want to be challenged. Man, did you see Fauci this weekend with Rand Paul again? Fauci just, he thinks he's a Teflon Don. We're going to find out. But holy cow, is that guy just snotty. Freaking. Oh, he really rubs me the wrong way. Anyway, yeah, but who's going to go on Rogan's show? Seriously. Who from the opposing view is going to go on Rogan's show? I mean, it seems like they would be afraid to have their views exposed. And Rogan's no dummy. That's the problem. I mean, that dude is pretty smart. Like, he's been around the block a few times. You know, he's not like, he's not just a robot that, you know, has these built-in responses to stuff. This dude is a thinker. And he just wants answers. He just wants knowledge. I think that's one thing I love about Joe Rogan. He wants to gain the knowledge that you have when you sit down across from him in his studio. He wants your knowledge. He wants you to convey to him what you have that's so special. And I think in some ways, Joe's one of those guys who can retain a ton of that stuff. like he puts it in these memory banks to draw on later. And he's just not going to find the people who oppose those views. Number one, their arguments are so damn weak because 90% of the time they're built on emotion, not reality. So when you come on and you start, you know, trying to make your emotion fact, it's never going to work. You can cry all the tears you want. You can, you know, make your arguments that it's for the children. And we've heard that before. You know, we're not falling for it. And it's a weak argument. Bring me some stats. Bring me some evidence that what you're saying is actually true. And then maybe we'll talk. Dang, that hour went by fast. Remember, come to Real Liberty Media. Hit the donate button. Join us in the chat room. Thanks, you guys. I will see you probably Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Real Liberty Media.